I preach the Word of God tonight and under the subject title, Faith in His Name. Faith in His Name. Well, we're going to stand. We're going to sit in a while and we'll just read through the passage and we'll be seated after we read through the passage, a familiar passage of Scripture. But faith in His Name. In Acts chapter 3, in verse number 1, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I want that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Now verse 16, again the verse where we get the thought for the message tonight. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. You may be seated, and I thank you for standing. We look down through the passage. We see God using a couple different servants here. And we see a miracle that has taken place simply because of faith in his name. And so as New Testament believers, as New Testament followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, undoubtedly it would be our desire to exercise faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, the Bible says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We're going to look at this passage and learn some things about what really happened through faith in his name that really made the difference. First thing, if you're taking notes, number one, first of all, faith in his name causes believers to look to help those in need. Causes believers to look to help those in need. Notice here, now here's a man at the gate of the temple begging all his life. And Peter and John show up, and this man is asking for money. He looked upon them expecting to receive something from them. And Peter fastened his eyes on him because of the commandments given to by God, because of the power given him when they had power and authority over all devils and unclean spirits and power to heal. He saw this person in an area of need, and the name of Jesus Christ caused him to see this person as an opportunity for him to use the gifts that God had given him to help this person. And see, that's what we're looking for as far as New Testament believers, New Testament followers of Jesus Christ, that the name of Jesus Christ, when we look out upon a lost and dying world, will recognize the gifts and talents that we have and see people with baggage and burdens and bondage and all types of problems, not as interruption to our peaceful existence, but will see them as, wait a minute, I can help them. I can help them. You know, it's one thing to be marveled by the world, but let's help the world. Let's reach the world. And you know, these people, they saw this person in the situation, and their faith in the name of Christ caused them to say, look on us. You know, I want you to think about the people that you know that have sin problems and baggage problems. And first of all, most important, people you know that if they died right now in their current faith condition, they would go to hell. Do you have enough faith in the name of Christ to say, look on me? Because you should. That's the goal. Well, aren't you glad? If you're saved, aren't you glad somebody said, look on them? Aren't you glad that somebody said that, look and listen, I've got the answer to your soul's condition? And for these men, this guy, he's, oh man, another beggar. No, they said, no, look on us. Number two, faith in his name called his believers, I like this one, to boldly expect others to do the impossible through the name of Jesus. That's a long one. I'll say it again. Faith in his name causes believers to boldly expect others to do the impossible through the name of Jesus. Like, sometimes y'all may think I'm crazy around here, that move my expectations, but I believe that everything's possible through the name of Jesus Christ. And we see the same here now, because think about this now, we understand that Peter and John had faith, but they looked upon this man that had been lame from his mother's womb, been carried everywhere in his life, and they look at him, and notice what they say after in verse number 6, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He looked at this person in his condition, totally helpless, and he expected him, through the name of Jesus Christ, to attempt something that he'd never done before in his life. Can you imagine what was going on there? First of all, the guy might have been turned off. Well, silver and gold, have I none? He probably already lost his attention. And then all of a sudden, these people, he looks at one of him, he says, look on me, and he says, now, through the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you rise up and walk. You ever wonder what went through that guy's head? And I imagine there must be some measure of disbelief, because the Bible tells us they came over and took him out of the hand. Maybe he didn't do it all on his own, but see, they so believed in what they were doing that they walked over there. But the faith in the name of Jesus Christ, they spoke to this person in this situation, in this helpless situation, and they literally believed, and they expected him through the name of Jesus Christ to do that which was impossible for him in his natural state. That's what I expect of each one of you. I expect each one of you to live a holy life unto God through the name of Jesus Christ. Not through the name of First International Baptist Church, because that name doesn't have any power, but the name of Jesus Christ does. And I expect you to be a witness and a testimony. Why? Because God does. And through his name, I believe the authority of the Word of God, and although it may seem impossible for you, I believe you can go back to people that you've not been a witness to. All of us have some time in our life. We have a list of people that we've never said, look on us. And we just hope I don't know. You know, the devil just blinded sometimes, you know. And I'm saying we. It's amazing how we can rest satisfied among people that we claim to care about sometimes and never give them the gospel. I mean, we like their presence, we like their company, and they may even be fun to hang around, and we rest satisfied with them lost and knowing that if God came back now, they would never, ever, ever, ever see him again. But faith in his name causes us to look at those same people and say, look on us. Because we have power. No, we already heard from testimonies. Nothing about us. But the name. It's the name. It's the name. And it's above every name. And we need to believe in that name. And number three, faith in his name causes believers to publicly display their faith in the impossible. And this is, we made reference to this. Now, they spoke to the man, told him to rise up. And that was public display number one. That they expected through the name of Jesus, someone that had been lame all their life could get up. And then the public display, they came over and lifted him up. We really expect you to get up. and from this people, they're going to the temple, all these people around, and through the name of Jesus Christ, something's going to happen. They believe that. They boldly expect them, first of all, to do the impossible, and now they publicly display their faith in the impossible. They put themselves on the line, said, I don't know how this is going to come out. They didn't say that. You know why? Because they really believed in the name of Jesus Christ. They really believed in that name. I mean, that same name that saves you for eternity. Why can it not give you the strength and the faith just to obey God daily? You know, it can. We just have to have faith in his name. But they publicly displayed their faith in the impossible. When others thought about this man's need, many probably compassion gave him alms. But through the instructions of God had given them. You know, I was thinking about this, you know, about faith in his name. You know what the real moral, and we'll repeat this again, you know what the real message of all this is? They simply did what God told them they could do. Now, my faith, we're like, man, I always had the faith to do that, speak to somebody like that, and the lame walk. But that's not what God wants me to do. You know, God has given me, if you've been saved any period of time at all, you've got a list of instructions that undeniably, no matter, there's a list. Now, there's some, you may have some areas that are gray areas, but there's a list in your life written on your heart that are undeniably, you know for you, that God wants you to do. And faith in his name, you can do it. And that's all God expects. And that's what he expects. He expects you to follow the whole counsel of God. But I mean, there's some things that you know, and we struggle with those things sometimes, but faith in his name really makes a difference, and it causes believers to look to help those in need and to boldly expect others to do the impossible. And not only, but I didn't put this one down, but they boldly spoke the impossible. But it caused in the public to display their faith in the impossible. Number four, faith in his name causes believers to reject any exaltation for works of faith. Faith in his name causes believers to reject any exaltation for works of faith. Now we see in verse number 12 here, he says, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? They recognize. And somebody thought, man, they got something good. They got some great faith going on here. No, the faith was in the name. And they recognized that without the name, they were powerless. They recognized that the name gave them nothing of themselves. And they said, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, I'm looking at verse 13, the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up, excuse me, and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One, the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. They didn't for a moment. They didn't let it go on for any period of time at all, any glory was trying to give them. They rejected any exaltation. Hey, it's not our power. It's not our holiness. And you know, and honestly, that's a good message right in there because that. You know why we struggle sometimes? Because we are looking for something. We know it's Christ alone. But sometimes we're looking for a measure of faith, and this is speaking to something I'm struggling with today. Thank you, Lord. How we look for a measure of faith, look for something about ourselves so that we can find a reason why we should be able to carry out the will of God. And it's just a name. It's just a name. Because what happens, Satan has a focus on our failures, our inconsistencies, and all those different things, and it's just the name alone that gives you the power to do what God wants you to do. And if you just can leave with the vision of the power of the name of Jesus Christ, you can really trust God to do that which is impossible, which basically is everyday Christian living, which is faithfulness. What does God require, the Bible says? Moreover, brethren, it is required of stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. What do Christians struggle with most? Faithfulness. And that's just as big as speaking to someone that's lame and causing them to walk. And if you have faith in his name, you could do either one, whatever God calls you to do. And he's called us to be faithful, and he asks us to be. And so if we really have faith in his name, we will walk in those steps and do that which God would have us to do. The true faith in his name causes the believers to reject any exaltation for works of faith. Number five, true faith in his name causes the believers to use any opportunity to preach the cross. Faith in his name causes the believers to use any opportunity to preach the cross. Now, they're looking at them, look, did you do this? And no, and what do? They turn it around and say, it was God that did it. And by the way, it's his son Jesus. And by the way, this is the person, the Holy One, the just, and you desired a murderer, and you killed the Prince of Life. And it's the name of Jesus Christ that this man has been made whole. And he said, you need to repent. He goes on further in verse 19. He gives them he gives a complete gospel here in verse 18. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. You know, they were exalted for what people thought was their power. And they said, use it for the glory of God. And what their mindset was, because they had faith in his name, you know, we're going to preach Christ out of this. We're going to preach the cross out of this. You know, I've been praying recently. I said, Lord, if you do anything to attach any degree of focus upon me, help me use it to preach the cross. Help me to show forth Jesus Christ in it. If I receive any earthly glory, any exaltation for anything, help me use it to preach the cross. And faith in his name, that's what he calls these men to do. I mean, they if you really look at what was going on in the context, they just turned it all around and brought Jesus into it. You know, why? Since we're the light and that's what we're here for, why not? Well, it's the name. It's the faith in his name. Think about, you know, so many names we base our lives upon. Lives upon. We trust in so many different names other than the name that is above every name. We'll trust the word of other people. We'll trust the ways of other people. We'll listen to other people. But the name of Jesus Christ is what really will make the difference if we desire to follow God. Number six, faith in his name simply causes the weak to be made strong. We see it here in verse number 16. It says, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. Are you a weak Christian tonight? Well, faith in the name of Jesus can make you strong. But you got to have faith in his name. And you just got to believe what his name represents. All his power, the power, all the authority. Jesus said, it's given him in heaven and earth. And it's amazing how we cower sometimes. And Christianity as a whole cowers to preach Christ. Like I was saying on Sunday, there's so much. Christianity doesn't mind preaching religion. I mean, it's easy to stand and preach against things in society and things like this, but I mean, I'm telling you, when you find the battle, I'm telling you, it's the battle is to preach Christ. Because Satan has had a heyday of allowing religious people to stand and make a loud voice of religious things to a world when they need to know about Jesus Christ. When the banner must be held high and we must boldly and confidently preach Christ in every situation, we need to go to our jobs and our friends tomorrow filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we see those people in baggage, we need to, something on the inside says, look, I don't know if you're going to hear it or not, but I've got the answer for you. It's Jesus Christ. You know, and I'm just compelled to tell you, and this because and faith in His name will do that. Not, but faith in a church, faith in a preacher, faith in a religious institution, that won't give you that. Only faith in His name. If you think back to the day that, what was the name that you called upon to rescue your soul from hell? I remember hearing that, I mentioned the other day, somebody said we could all live in the 5 minutes before we got saved on a regular basis. That fear of God we had, that fear of judgment that we had, and all of a sudden, that deliverance. We recognize the answer, you know. And wow, and then that fear, and if we could just walk in those 5 minutes before we got saved, remember how there was the name of Jesus that made the difference. Hey, well, in the 5 minutes before I got saved, all my religious experience meant nothing. I was praised by men. I was being praised by one of the most well-known pastors in the United States, and he thought I was good. He was looking forward to me being something great for God, and I was lost without God. But finally, the name of Jesus cured all that. He calmed all that. And when I called him on his name that Wednesday morning, it made all the difference in the world. And my faith became strong in Christ. And it's always strong when my focus stays upon the name. But when it doesn't stay upon the name, then I kind of, then it can be said of me, just like Samson. Remember, Samson told Delilah, when she said, "What's the secret of your strength?" He said, if I be signed with 7 green withs or bands, he said, "I'll become like any other man." What a tragedy. Nazarite vow set apart for God to do things that nobody else could do. And he did give up his strength and he did become like any other man. But that's not God's calling for us. And the name is the difference. Last thing in the text, and the faith in his name gives a perfect soundness that is noticeable in this present world. Faith in his name gives a perfect soundness that is noticeable in this present world. Notice what he said in verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. You've seen this person. You know this person. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. You know, we really don't have to be unstable people. You know that? We really don't have to be. The name of Jesus Christ can give us perfect soundness. But we just got to focus on the name. But you know, honestly, what the reality is? We really, God knew exactly what he was saying when he said, "Be holy, for I am holy." Because the greatest interruption to us living this life is all the things that keep us from being set apart unto God. And for people that are faithful and trying to follow God, most of it is not things that we could, in the world, we would call sin. It's just a lot of little distractions that keep us from being totally focused upon Christ. I told my wife that even today I was trying to study for the message today, and I told my wife, I said, I spent 45 minutes reading the newspaper. I never read the newspaper. You know, and I recognize Satan distracted me. I'm like, what did I just do? You know, my kids, even when I deliver the paper, I never read it. You know, because they would tell me things about the papers. Oh, was that in there? Even when I delivered it, when I had it for free, I never read it because I'm trying to read my Bible, and it's only bad news anyway. Either somebody got killed, somebody got exposed for something, somebody was dishonest about something. Maybe there'd be some good news about something. You know, some sodomite relationships in there, always something controversial to take you apart away from Christ. There's always something like that in there. I'm like, well, why read the paper? You know, it's just discouraging news. And I can't, and you know the crazy thing? I'm sitting there thinking, I can't remember what I read about. You know? And I wasted that time. But if it's 45 minutes that I could have had with God, then I'll never get back. And thank God he's merciful. And I'm not saying it's a sin to read the paper, but I'm just saying I left my home today to be alone and spend time just with God, and I got distracted from that purpose. And so what I did, I violated my holiness. Because the time for today was to be set apart unto him. And I did not walk in that calling of holiness for that moment. There may be times when you have a light moment to read the paper. But for me, for this today, that was where I was supposed to be. And we have to, and there's so many little things. And you think about it. If you do anything, if you want to get proficient in anything, what do? You give more time to it. And if you're not getting better, you give more time. And if you really want to get better, you give more time. But it's like, we struggle in our Christian lives sometimes. And you know, we do like we did when I was at West Point. When I was in the military academy, after a while, I really didn't really want to be there. So I was playing on the basketball team. I taught Sunday school class. I worked in the Big Brother program. I had all these activities, you know. And if I really wanted to pass, I had a decision to make. I was going to have to cut off some activities in order to pass my grades, you know. Here I am, I'm tutoring people. Now, I told you this before, but it's silly. I tutored people in three classes, and all three of them passed, and I failed the three classes that I tutored in. And it was just, I just wasn't meant to be there. But all these things, but I, you know what I did? I made the decision that I'll stay. But if I'm gonna be here, I'm gonna be here my way. I'm gonna keep basketball, I'm gonna keep Big Brother, and I keep all these activities I'm in. If I'm gonna stay, I'm gonna stay here my way. And I found it didn't work. Because you know what the reality it was? It's a simple lack of commitment. But we do the same thing in our Christian life, you know. We say, Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. But you know what, Lord? I'm going to be it this way or I'm not going to be it. Now, we may not say that verbally, but we say that when we say we want to be closer to God and we change absolutely nothing. We make no decision for any greater holiness to be set apart closer to God. We don't arrange anything different about our schedule to focus more, to fellowship more, and we expect something to be different. I mean, what you train people, I mean, I know you're not currently, but do you still have one client? Or, yeah, I mean, if they want results, don't they have to change something? Because generally, if they didn't need results, they wouldn't need you. They wouldn't be paying you, you know, and they're not just paying you for fellowship. You know, they have some need, and they call them for need, and they sacrifice to a measure. They're sacrificing income. They're sacrificing resources and a measure of time. And I would imagine for the number of years you've done this, you probably work with certain people that spend the money, spend the time, but when nobody's looking, they stay exactly the same. And you know, and it's just like I say, you know what, now they can work out hard in front of him, but it's the moments when he can't see them that really determine if they get the results. And that's the same thing true with our Christian life. And we can work out here in front of each other, but when nobody can see us, that's when the decisions for holiness will really pull us into Christ. And it's not a demand. God wants to help us. God said, be ye holy, so you can have the faith in his name. So you can have that direction, that wisdom, and that powerful life that simply, faithfully walks with God. But think of it. I mean, if you're a Christian and really trying to serve God, I mean, isn't it a grief just to know you've not been faithful? I mean, I'm not saying you broke the law. You may not have stolen anything. You may not did anything morally wrong. But just to know that you've not done everything God wants you to. It's a grief, you know. And God doesn't want you to have that grief. He wants you to be free in Christ and enjoy the liberty and to walk in him. And so he makes these calls upon us, and he makes it simple for us. He said, have faith in his name. And he set these markers in the Bible so we can see the miraculous things that happen simply through faith in his name. I mean, there's people in your life and my life that we've thought, well, that's too hard of a case. When God specifically, now remember, God is all wise, never makes a mistake. God specifically put that person in your path, and you're sitting there thinking, I hope somebody else will reach him. And you said, I hope they don't go to hell. But if they're going to heaven, they ain't going to be by my help. And see, these people, you know what they did? They opened their mouth. You know, you have to testify. You're a witness. And the faith in his name. It's a look on us. I know you've been in a situation, you've been this way all your life. And, you know, this is perfect. You know why some people we don't witness to? Oh, they've been this way all their life, they're not going to listen to me. Ever think that thought before? I mean, we know the religious background, we know their personal beliefs, and we say, they're not going to listen to me. Well, you don't know that. You have faith in His name. And with the boldness and authority, you say, look on us, I've got the answer. And then, you know what part of the church is? See, I'm not the only one around it that should be expecting you to live the impossible. You should expect it of me. And you should expect it of every person that professes in Christ. You should expect them. And you should boldly expect them to do that which is impossible through the name of Jesus Christ. That's part of the exhortation. That's why we come together. That's what Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking, probably verse 24, I think, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of summons, but exhorting one another. Well, what are we exhorting each other for? To do that, which is impossible. Because anybody can coast, right? I mean, anybody can just be moral. Religions all over the world do that. But for the Christians, the ones who believe in the name that is above every name, that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that has all power in heaven and in earth, we need to come together believing, number one, that we're going to live whatever God wants us to live, even if it seems impossible to the world, and we're going to expect the same of each other. Because that's how we all get to the place where God would have us to be, and that's where we glorify God the way He wants us to. But it's going to cost us to publicly display some faith sometimes. To testify openly of the name of Jesus Christ. And you will get praise for doing that which is right. You will get praise for character at some point. Some will curse you, but there are certain characteristics we do live for Christ that people think, man, you're good. Or you're a blessing, you know. And you just tell them it's the name of Jesus Christ. That's what makes the difference. I was thinking of praising the Lord today, you know. I was thinking about different gifts and God's given me and things I've been allowed to do. And I was thinking, you know what? I said, Lord, some of these, even the things that people think are good character, some of my, I practiced even before I became a Christian. I said, Lord, this was of you. I said, Lord, thank you. I said, Lord, give me another opportunity to lift up your name for what you've done through me and to show forth, you know. But it's the name. Jesus Christ. I was thinking, I prayed this other day. I said, Lord, I said, would you allow me, Lord, I don't have to play basketball. I like to go to my son, but would you do something, either use this time, if I'm going to be praised for anything, if I'm going to be recognized for being on that court, would you somehow allow me to use that to lift up your name and preach Christ? And I ended up witnessing the two girls for a good while of the night. And God did that. Because the only reason you want me to be visible while I'm there is so that I can shine Christ. And if you're a Christian, the only reason God wants you visible anywhere is so He can testify the faith in His name. But it makes the weak strong. If you're weak, don't give up. You can have faith. The faith in the name of Christ will change that. And you can have a perfect soundness that's be visible to the whole world. And then there again, you point to the name of Jesus Christ. It's a powerful name. I mean, if you really think, you know, I just wish, I mean, there's enough people here tonight. I mean, I want each of you to think of all the people that you know that are just lost. What if you had the vision, this same Bible vision of the name of God when you left here? I mean, if they could see that commanding presence that, I mean, I'm not talking about arrogancy, but I mean, just a confidence that just, man, that just, this is it, you know? I mean, when they spoke to that lame man, they didn't say, excuse me, sir. I know you've been crippled some time, and I know you're probably not going to believe this. And but could you, rise up and walk? No, I don't believe it was like that. There was something on the inside that, because with the name, it differed than personally, and there was a transfer of faith to them, and it looked upon the situation that should have been impossible, but they were told in advance they had power in the situation because Jesus gave them the power to heal, and they boldly proclaimed in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk, amen. What would happen next time somebody confided in you about a struggle? On some other lost person. You say, I just have to tell you, God has allowed me to know you, to let you know that Jesus Christ is the answer to your need. I don't know what your background is, I don't know what you believe, but I just want you to know that I understand fully that the reason God has allowed me to know you is so that I can point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is the answer. And you testify, He saved me on such and such a date, and He gave me Christ on the inside, and bear witness, and I just want you to know. What do you think would happen to all the people you've been timid around? You hadn't been really lifting up your voice to. But see, you have to catch a vision of that name. See, that's something you can't train in the class. That's something that is just born by faith and believing in that name. I was thinking when Larry was listening, and these guys, they didn't want to hear it, but I stopped one night and said, you're God is looking for someone exactly like you. And one time I got along with them, and sometimes I say to somebody else, and these situations where God put me in those people's paths that they could receive the name of Jesus Christ. They could be, because that's the name of salvation. May God help us all to have faith in His name so we don't watch. You know, it's funny how the world says so many different things that I really believe are indictments against Christianity. I remember when I was lost, common expression in the world, well, man, that person's so lame. And that's just saying whether they're useless or they're basically not any good to us or kind of degrading them, you know, move their mind, whatever there is. And if you're a Christian, if you see somebody that's lame, you say, yeah, they are lame. And that's who I'm here for. That's who I'm here for. I wish God could give us all a vision tonight of the name of Jesus Christ. So we got to break free of what we've experienced religiously and start looking at what the name says. It didn't matter how, and we just got to start boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. You know how you know this message is true? The people you thought about that you hadn't witnessed to. The people that you thought about don't really know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. I mean, they know you're nice, they know you're good, and you may be nice, but you may not be exactly like the world, but they don't really know that Christ is the driving factor of your life. And you know what? Maybe that's the answer. Maybe He's not really. But the good news is, He can be. He can be. If you're not saved, you can be saved. If you're saved and just got your eyes on everything else, you can put your eyes on Jesus tonight, and you can catch a vision of the name of God. And you can leave this place boldly. Walk away every lame person that look on me. And if you're two by two, like Peter and John, look on us. And if somebody, that's a good thing. You, like Christians, you go together to places, you know. If one of them speaks up, say, look on us, you got to do something. Me and Brother David go downtown and I just push somebody, guess what? He's in the fight too. But we're not going to do that. If we go downtown, they look on us. Amen. And they call us and say, look on us. Yeah, we are the answer. Yeah, we can make the difference through Jesus Christ. Not us, but the name that's in us. Amen. Lord, tonight we thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the power of your name. Thank you for these people that disbelieved it. And Lord, I just pray tonight, you really want something simple. and supernatural to take place in this room. You like every